Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Waiting for the best deals? Spring Black Friday savings are here. Shop early access now at Blinds.com and save big on new custom window treatments. At Blinds.com, shopping online for custom window treatments doesn't mean sacrificing on service, selection, or style. As the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, Blinds.com has hundreds of options to fit any decor and budget. Choose from stylish roller or bamboo shades, blackout options, and more. We even have motorized shades for your patio. DIY, or let our experts handle the heavy lifting. Blinds.com has you covered with free virtual consultations. We'll even send a pro to do the measure and install. Try before you buy with free samples delivered to your door. With over 25 million windows covered, every order's backed with Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday Early Access now for up to 40% off with minimum purchase, plus a free measure. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Hour number two rolls along here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer. And today's show is, of course, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Going to go to the old Twitter machine if you want to join the show today, 803-0550, the number to call. We were having some fun. We were sharing some draft stories. You want to share yours, fondest memory, most upset you've been at the Bills. Love to hear them. Always fun. Also talking, of course, about the idea of best player available. If a certain guy falls, and maybe it falls on the offensive side, you've brought up safety as potentially a luxury pick as well, Derek.
Yep.
So there's a number there. Do want to read some quick ones, though, from the Twitter machine on some fun draft stories. Jack tweets in, I, too, was upset when they took Maben, left my place, had to take an angry walk, which I think we've all been there, the angry walk.
The Howard mowing your lawn.
Mm-hmm. Reminded me of Eric Flowers, Butler's last first as a Bills GM, athletic but no production plus no motor. Called Howard, our old friend Howard Simon, who had a draft show, said I was nuts, but I was 100% right. He also mentioned he was upset, or he was excited in 14 when they trade up, wanted Mac or Mike Evans, but they ultimately didn't get him. And then we also have Jack tweeting in, too, being crushed about 2014, saw the Bills trade up before, wanted the same thing, Mac or Mike Evans.
Which, I mean, it is interesting, though, like how much of a hoopla that pick really was.
Yeah. You can even go to, like, a guy, Odell Beckham Jr. goes later.
He ends up closer to Buffalo there, and, like, they could have had him.
Buffalo's original pick, yeah. He ends up going, let me find it, 12.
Yeah. So they could have had him.
Mm-hmm.
It was Evans that they would not have had. He got taken 7th, I do believe, in that draft.
Go 7th, yep.
So, but yeah, so
two
if you've
straight
got,
A&M guys, yeah, Jake Matthews goes 6.
If you've got memories about that, you know, phone lines are open at 803-0550. Others from the tweet sheet, though, back to the original conversation that we wanted to bring in was, can the Bills afford a luxury pick in the first two rounds if a certain player falls? Jimmy tweets in, 100%, this is what the Bills should be doing at the bottom of drafts, pick best player available. Last thing they should be doing is reaching on a player to fill an immediate need. Rarely does your BPA and positional need match up. Just draft studs.
Yeah, I can't really word it better than that. That's sort of where I was getting to yesterday.
That's where you were yesterday.
Just
pick, have a conviction.
Yeah, have conviction. Take the best. Take the guy you like the most. Who's number one on your board? Mm-hmm. Take him.
And then Todd tweeting and hopefully being learned from the Elam pick for not drafting on need. But we will see soon enough. We will see soon enough. I'm very excited about that. Like, you and I are just so draft-coded at this point.
I'm ready. I'm ready to go. Real quick, last thing on the 2014 draft I do want to bring up. Mm-hmm. So the Bills originally were slated to pick at 8. They trade that with Cleveland.
Or they had, yeah, they were 8 or 9, one of the two.
I feel like it was 9.
Because then that was traded with Minnesota too, so maybe it was 9. So, on that point, do you remember the player they were originally being mocked to the most? Talking about luxury picks here, because it does somewhat fit into this. Do you remember the player that was talked a lot about the Bills? It does somewhat fit to the Sammy Watkins thing.
I feel like, no, I don't remember.
Eric Ebron, tight end out of North Carolina.
That's right. Oh, my God.
Goes to Detroit at 10. I haven't thought about
Ebron
in a while.
That's right. Eric Ebron was the one that was mocked to the Bills a lot.
He was the guy.
Because historically, through the Bills franchise, they have had good tight ends.
I would argue they still kind of don't.
They don't.
They haven't figured that out yet.
They haven't truly figured that out. And it makes it even funnier. But like at the same time, wow, I forgot about Eric Ebron.
He was the guy. I don't think like unanimously he was the guy being mocked to the Bills. I just remember his name so much. And it was kind of like, are you really going to take a tight end in the top 10? I guess you might. Now looking back at it, what's funny is the draft was so loaded at wide receivers, they could have had their pickings if they really wanted to at 8 or 9 and been just fine. But I remember Ebron's name so much for that draft for the Bills, and he ends up going to Detroit. He ended up having a fine career in Detroit.
Yeah, and it is kind of funny that, like, man, you also could have picked a player that would have ended up being one of the best at his position of all time at this point. Aaron Donald goes 13th.
Aaron Donald goes 13th from Pittsburgh.
Aaron Donald goes 13th in this draft, which, if you look at overall, not bad. And then Cleveland's like, hey, we're going to be the crazy ones and take Johnny Manziel.
Oh, it's not just that. I mean, they take Manziel. This is one of their all-time worst drafts in an organization that's had bad ones. They take Justin Gilbert, the cornerback out of Oklahoma State.
Oh, that's right.
In the top 10. He's a disaster from the word go. I mean, yes. It's an all-time bad draft, and also ball knowers know. And I'm imagining the two guys we had tweet into us who were talking about they wanted Mike Evans or Mac. Mm-hmm. Real ball knowers knew. Manziel was made by Mike Evans making ridiculous catches off of prayer balls by Manziel.
The Bills, by the way, in the second round, they take Cyrus Kwanjo, who...
Yes.
I will never forget in preseason hearing that one of the assistants called him an armless statue.
Oh, no. Yeah, you never want to be called an armless statue. That's never good.
Yes.
That's never good.
Davante Adams goes 53rd in this draft as well.
Yeah.
So, like, wide receiver, that was a draft that was that deep.
Allen Robinson, Jarvis Landry's in this draft as well.
Yeah, there were a lot of studs at wide receiver from this draft. Third round pick that they have ends up being Preston Brown.
Led the Bills in tackles 1 year or two.
I think it was a couple of years because then he gets flipped in a one-for-one for Jerry Hughes.
That's right. Oh, then he had to have led the NFL in tackles or was like top five, something like that.
It was still – and then fourth round, an old friend here with defensive tackle, Daquan Jones. In the fourth round. Like they were still great players all throughout this draft. But, man, wide receiver, it was kind of insane.
It is funny, though. Like this is a great draft. The first three picks are all incredible disappointments. Jadeveon Clowney.
Right.
Does not become the all-encompassing pass rusher that everyone really assumed he'd be out of South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And somewhat rightfully so. He was unbelievable. To be fair, Chase Young has almost kind of followed in his footsteps for very different reasons. Clowney seemed to be – he sort of didn't care up and down.
Yeah.
He really wanted to play football. Young seems to be due to injuries. Greg Robinson, offensive tackle out of Auburn, disaster. And then Blake Bortles makes an AFC championship game by being the worst quarterback in football.
Yes.
Unbelievable. And those are your first three picks. Then Watkins is also a disappointment for the Bills. But ultimately, I think still most people would acknowledge if the injuries didn't get him, he'd be really good. And then it's Khalil Mack, Jake Matthews, Mike Evans, Anthony Barr, Taylor Lewan, Odell Beckham Jr. You've already mentioned Aaron Donald. Ryan Shazier, by the way, another guy that was on his way to having an all-time career. Injuries really ended his career. The neck injury he had that ultimately ended his career. Zach Martin, who just retired earlier this offseason. C.J. Mosley. It's a loaded class, and the first three picks are all massive disappointments.
Yeah, they're like bad, bad kinds of players. Yeah, I really do – like. There were some really good names in this draft all throughout it. Like Chris Borland's a third round pick and he cuts his career short based on injuries. But like, man, that was a third round pick.
a kind of a player that Bills fans would have killed for. Mm-hmm. They do take Preston Brown, who, again, it lands you Jerry Hughes, so like I'm not going to take that back.
That kind of worked out, yeah.
But, you know, Borland goes in the same round as Brown does, and Morgan Moses, a longtime offensive tackle with Washington at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Gabe Jackson, one of the better interior linemen in the league when he was drafted by Oakland. Trey Turner, an offensive lineman. Like Jerick McKinnon is still in the league.
Yeah. Wow, man.
Daquan, Cam Fleming, another offensive tackle. Like there were some really good players throughout this thing that you can look at. How deep was this wide receiver draft, by the way? Quincy Enunwa, 7th round pick. And Enunwa was serviceable with the Jets.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And funny enough, I mentioned Enunwa. Enunwa is part of the Idzik 12.
Yeah.
As in, Idzik, how did you mess up 11 out of 12 draft picks? A cursed draft class from the Jets in a year where we look at this draft class and go, there were some really good players.
That's always the worst. Like this is where I do call like an all-time miss by Cleveland. When you look at how many talented players there were, and both their first-round picks are massive misses.
Yeah.
Not just like, oh, they're fine, but it ultimately didn't become what maybe you wanted. Misses. I don't think Gilbert had another team after Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
He did. He played in Pittsburgh in 2016, and that was it.
Yeah.
Now he's on the Sioux City Bandits.
Yeah. Carlos Hyde, who like never would die when fantasy owners were like, why are you still around?
Hell yeah.
He was part of this draft. Like there were so many good players in this draft class.
Speaking of good players, I do want to get back to what Todd and Jimmy were bringing up
yes.
on Twitter, that best player available idea. For me, and to that conviction point I was bringing up a lot yesterday and even today now, sort of where I've been sitting at with this is like I've used that a lot to encompass the defensive needs, defensive tackle, cornerback. Like take the best player there that's on the board.
And it could be both. It could be a need
could
based,
be. Yeah.
But he's also BPA and it's kind of like an easy shoe-in.
And that's perfect. Now one of our guys did bring that up that often doesn't actually happen, which I would argue is
but this draft
true.
Class, it could be both.
It could. I'm you know what I'm curious about is what's the mood on Friday? Not going into the weekend. Friday morning. The Bills took Luther Burden at 30. What's the mood? I think realistically, even with all the defensive needs, I think Bills fans are pumped through the roof.
Pumped and also ready for, all right, buckle in for all defense coming up day two.
Yep.
This Friday is going to be, we're getting a couple defensive players, or at least we better. Because otherwise, where are the upgrades?
Yeah, what are we doing? Now, Mike Schoep brings up a really good point, and I didn't want to forget today before bringing it up, because I think it's a really good point.
Yeah.
Will the Bills actually take a pass catcher 3 years in a row with their first pick? Kincaid, Coleman, and then we're arguing Burden. Would they really do it?
It's not would they really do it, it's should they do it.
See, I think it's fine. If it's best player available and you're still going to go defense later and you have 2 seconds, that's fine.
Well, the answer
But will the Bills acknowledge they still have a ton of work to do there?
If they're willing to admit that,
mm-hmm.
then yes.
I have no issue if they admit it. I have an issue if they actively push against it.
So if they actively push against it, it's one thing. But I do suspect that, you know, if they do it, it is, yeah, no, that it works.
Mm-hmm.
Because they are looking to add. The pre-draft visits and the number of wide receivers that they've had right. in here means that they're going to add a wide receiver at some point.
And that's why I think it's curious where that's why I think it becomes fun if Burden is there. Let's see, even if 28. If he's there and you're kind of watching the draft board fall. Let's say, yeah, we're at 28. And it's Detroit. Detroit's not adding a wide receiver. Washington just traded for Deebo Samuel at 29. They're not. So right there in that window, do the Bills all of a sudden go, give me everything we've got on Burden?
Hey, I've got these extra fifth and sixth round picks.
Well, I don't necessarily think they need to trade up, but does it become the more hustle and bustle of, we didn't know he'd be here. We were planning on a wide receiver add if we trade back into round 3, round 4, round 5. You know, we're looking at the Thornton kid from Tennessee, you know, big 6'4", 4'3 speed. We're looking at maybe, you know, a raw prospect who can maybe kind of fill in on the roster. Now we've got this. And how quickly does that change the mood in the room?
even though we are hearing reports he could be available in the second round, it becomes a lot like the Travis Etienne argument for the Bills. Would they take Etienne if he was available at their pick?
And I don't think so necessarily about the Etienne pick, because like a running back is different.
Right.
Running back is truly different. For me, it is. Can you go ahead and do this again? And the answer is yes. There is a need there. There is a target of doing this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today.
And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
And if we get to like 26 and Burden's still there, you have extra picks.
Mm-hmm. You have the two twos.
I have said as recently as yesterday, I am comfortable with trading down. As a matter of fact, I'm not only prepared for it, I don't mind the idea.
Mm-hmm.
That said, context matters. And you have the ammunition to make a small move up like that.
Mm-hmm.
You have the ammunition that you can move around the draft board. And I'm excited for it more for day two of where you can move around. Because they're not making 10 picks. There's no way you can say that in good faith you're going to put 10 dartboards out there or 10 darts out on the board there and expect to have 70% of them make the roster.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I would think that there's an interesting idea there. So why not?
I really want him to be available at 30. I just for the conversation of what do they do if he is there at the Bills pick, and it's Kenneth Grant, Trey Amos, who I think Ian Rapoport reported today is visiting the Bills today, Luther Burden. And for argument's sake, let's say Nick Emmonwori's there too.
Right.
You know, we got a few guys that are all there at maybe not even 30, but like 27, where we're starting to like really pay attention to who's on the board for the Bills. You know, where do they go?
Mm-hmm.
Do they put the immediate need, cornerback two, over the we can get Maxwell Harrison a little bit later in round two or someone like that?
Right.
Where Burden, you know, we had Royals in on a visit. We had a bunch of these guys on the visit. They don't match up with Burden.
It is.
And ultimately,
context of this guy's here. Okay.
And ultimately, the last two seasons ended with your offense on the field and the inability to score. Yes, you gave up points this year to Kansas City. I don't need you to be Philadelphia. I don't need you to be the best defense in football. I need you to be very good or league average, but I don't need you to be the best in football or have the most talented in football. I need you to be good. Where this past year, they had to trade a third-round pick to go get Cooper to unlock this offense. Allen ultimately wins an MVP in a year where he had, what, 9 for 30 in a game in passing attempts?
He lost them in the Houston game.
I mean, they were dreadful. Once they lost Khalil Shakir, they were gone. Curtis Samuel, yes, he has the contract, but you haven't seen enough from him. And to be fair, the team did not shy away. They somewhat walked some of the comments back, but initially they were not shy about pointing out some of the issues they had with Keon Coleman. And have you really, in actuality, replaced Mac Hollins and Amari Cooper with Palmer?
And the answer is no, because they've got several visits with wide receivers this year.
Mm-hmm. They're telling you they are going to draft the position. It's just likely, based on how the draft boards they believe are falling, will be later.
Right.
And that's where if a guy like a Burden, who is perceived falling due to production issues, and really that's what the red flags appear to be. He's never been arrested. He's mm-hmm. never had any off-the-field issues while at Missouri.
Right.
If it's just production-based of a bad Missouri team, that might be the perfect pick for the Bills. Of a guy who should not be there, and mm-hmm. they just scoop him up.
Yeah.
And they go, cool, he's now with the MVP quarterback, and he's a versatile wide receiver that can play every role we need in the offense. And he's a guy that is a separation artist and an explosive athlete, someone they've been looking for.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, their wide receiver issue as well kind of goes away for the next five, six years. Keon and Burden
are there.
Shakir signed up. And you would draft Burden. Then it just becomes, we'll grab.
We don't have to worry about wide receivers for a little while.
You're done there.
You're always adding, of course, sure. And rotating in. But
Palmer's got a long-term deal. Curtis Samuel's still going to have 2 years left on his deal. So there becomes this very quickly.
For a couple of years, we don't have to worry about it. For next year, we don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, and you move on to different positions entirely. Unless Burden is a whiff on the levels of Elam, then it becomes a need
right.
very quickly. I am fascinated by the idea if Burden is there and what the Bills do. Because the Bills are telling you they think they need to add a wide receiver with how many guys they are bringing in. What they're telling you, though, is they believe it will have to be later because there may not be a guy available.
Yes.
But if somebody like a Burden or a Golden is there, do they do it? I haven't brought up Golden a lot, too, because I think he's going to go to Dallas. But what if Dallas decides to take Burden, and everyone's like, oh, the fall was made up. Never mind. Mm-hmm. He's gone at pick 12.
Right.
What if Golden's there at 30? Does he do the same thing for you? Now, it's a bit less. I like Matthew Golden a lot, but I would probably tell you as well, he's a number two receiver. His production still wasn't there. I like the chemistry he had with Ewers, but he was more of a boom guy rather than he's going to catch, the almost 90 passes that Burden did his sophomore year in Missouri.
Yeah. And I think that it does come down to, the talent's there. Luther Burden's also the face of this whole discussion. There mm-hmm. could be other players like this for you. It doesn't have to necessarily be a wide receiver. It could be safety. Mm-hmm. If I see a Malachi Starks hanging around at, pick 27, pick 28, I'm kind of, giddy in anticipation.
Yeah.
With that sort of a prospect being available. Why is he here?
Mm-hmm.
And also, safety is not as deep as the other positions are. Even though it's not an immediate need for the Buffalo Bills, it is also, you could really have a long-term investment turned around and going, we're looking at a long-term of Malachi Starks and Cole Bishop.
Well, and that's the thing, too. You look more long-term at safety. After this year, Bishop's the only guy under contract.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bunch of one-year deals or expiring deals that they have going on
and
here.
Of players that, quite frankly, it's fine if you move on from them.
Yep.
So it could be a bit of a luxury pick, but the idea is there.
Mm-hmm.
Edge rusher, even. If there's a player like an Azir and Ezekiru from Boston College.
Or Mike Green from Marshall.
Or even James Pierce from Tennessee falling for some reason.
Yeah.
If someone's falling, A, why? And B, is it that bad if you go and snag them?
Mm-hmm.
Joey Bosa's only on a one-year deal. it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And again, the draft is deep in the second round with corner, with defensive tackle, your primary needs.
Steve Palazzolo and Sam Monson of the Check Mike podcast, they talked specifically about James Pierce and the idea of him maybe falling to the Bills. And there, and like you brought up with Bosa, their whole thing there was he's a raw guy, but put him in this room with all these guys to let him learn. And then next year, if Bosa maybe isn't like the smash hit you wanted and you're not going to sign him back, perfect. You have James Pierce ready to go. He likely got less snaps and was sort of working his way in. Then boom, he's there. Or to the guy they actually, it was part of their mock draft, the guy they actually took, Siobhan Revelle, a name we've all brought up. Nate Geary is
Nate
a huge
is
fan of his.
On it.
If he doesn't tear his ACL, it's near unanimous, I see, he's a top 15 pick. Teams are worried about what he is post-ACL tear.
And there's
that's
an inherent
the
risk and reward of mm-hmm. you draft an injured player, what are you going to get from him?
Yeah.
What kind of injury was it? How is he going to rebound? Because it's tough. It's tough to see and tough to evaluate it, but you're taking that risk.
Mm-hmm.
But with risk does come reward, and oftentimes that is where I would like my team to be,
yep.
is a team that is willing to take a chance, pull the trigger on something, and see what they can do. Because otherwise, it's like you said, Zach, having a conviction. And even taking a risk on an injury player is having a conviction.
Mm-hmm.
It is. We believe in your talent.
And trusting your medical staff.
We trust the medical staff, and we also trust your mentals
mm-hmm.
that you're going to be okay. And not only okay, but you're also going to be a quick study on this playbook, and we're going to be able to have you on the field and ready to go.
803-0550, the number to call. The idea, drafting best player available. Where do you sit at with it, or is it best player available, but it better be a defensive guy with all the needs the Bills have. Love to hear your thoughts. Zach Jones and Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. But before we take our next time out.
Hey, the weather may be a little cheeks out there, but we have your ticket to 8 amazing golf courses with the WGR VIP golf card, which you'd be able to use hopefully soon enough. For just one low price of $129, you would unlock a season of golfing adventures, including Diamond Hawk, Shamrock Hills, Attica's 10th Hole and Golf Course, Bobo Link, and Golf Dojo. Your WGR VIP golf card would also hook you up with a free box of premium Vero X1 golf balls from Encore Golf, and you'd be able to score deals at Rick Zurak Golf Warehouse on Transit in Bowmansville. A portion of the proceeds will also benefit PGA Hope. You can look at all the details and purchase your WGR VIP golf card today at getmyperks.com.
Any investment in a running back that you feel like is going to be a roster, to me there needs to be a corresponding move, which would be a James Cook trade. And I kind of feel like the Bills are going to want James Cook to just play out this season and then reassess after the year. And that could just mean he walks. But, it's the best path with James Cook to just get what you can out of him this year. And we'll see. That kind of feels like the right thing to me. But if the team's offering a day two pick and you can basically swap James Cook for a day two pick and reset the money and, not be in that position where you're staring at a big contract for a running back, that seems pretty appealing.
That is Joe Marino from earlier today with Jeremy and Joe talking about James Cook. We haven't talked about James Cook in a little while. I think it's because he's going to play out this year at worst, and we'll see what happens after that.
And I brought it up in the first hour. James Cook was on a live stream with someone, and he tore up logos. So like he's loyal to the crest. He's going to play out the rest of the contract.
Mm-hmm.
But a trade would be interesting because then, ready? Speaking of luxury picks, it's a really strong running back class.
It seems like one of the deepest running back classes we've had
it's
in recent
pretty
memory.
Pretty strong. I'm not really paying attention to most of it because of the fact that I don't think the Bills are going to take one here.
Mm-hmm.
But if they do, A, it tells you the direction that they're going to be moving into, and B, maybe there is a trade imminent for Cook.
It's also why, honestly, be a better agent. Let your client know, hey, you do not have leverage right now. Wait till mm-hmm. after the draft when teams have their running backs to then make your kind of announcement, I guess, is maybe the best way to put it,
right,
about what you want. Because right now, I think most Bills fans have kind of gotten into the same corner as pretty much the rest of us, which is, okay, this appears to be an incredible running back class, and we have a ton of late-round picks that we can just grab somebody. Now, it doesn't work perfectly with that. We've taken calls from people saying, it's not that easy to replace James Cook, and I agree.
But yeah, you're replacing a known commodity with something you don't know what's going to happen.
But also, I'm putting myself in the best possible situation. They've got good depth at the position. They've got an incredible O-line. And they've got Josh Allen, a quarterback. If the running back is good, I'm in a good spot. And that's the thing, too, is we've never really seen the Bills in this position, ultimately because Devin Singletary and Zach Moss didn't earn the position to maybe be getting a second contract, but they also didn't have the O-line that James Cook has. And ultimately, in the game that James Cook missed against the Jets, Ray Davis looked like a stud.
Yeah.
And so, and that's a big part of this.
It's a big part of it. And while we want to do that, I feel like it might be time to get connected with our fans. It's brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. We go to Steve in Columbus. Steve, welcome to the Extra Point Show. How you doing?
I'm doing great, guys. Thanks for taking my call. You know, I think we actually have a little surplus on our offensive line. Everyone signed. We got a lot of young backups, it seems like they like. Mm-hmm. I wonder if they can use David Green and a pick to move up. Maybe David Green in their fourth, they get a third. And honestly, if a stud came up, I would wonder if they could use their first-round pick. So if wide receiver out of Missouri is getting close, do you trade Samuels and that first pick to move up? Or if there's a defensive end, do you trade A.J. Epenesa and that first pick to move up? Because I feel like if one of those two positions were available, you got a little glut there, and I'd want to be able to use that person. And I think they got that room with the offensive line. I think you got a little bit of flexibility. I would extend McGovern at center, but I think they got some nice depth there, and I would suggest using that. So I appreciate your thoughts, guys. Thanks.
All right, Steve, I've got two things. One, player value is not typically as good unless you're trading a stud player. Trading depth offensive pieces is typically going to equal fifth or sixth round picks. And this leads into number two. The Bills have a surplus of picks. Why not use those first?
Use those first. Also, I think it's Kendrick Green you meant to say there.
Yeah. And oh, by the way, number three. No, I'm keeping my offensive lineman. Please, thank you. Because while the Bills have one of the best offensive lines in the National Football League, they also have gotten lucky over the last several years in terms of injuries on the offensive line in the National Football League. I'm holding on to David Edwards until someone pries him from my cold, dead hands.
Yeah,
I'm holding on to Van Pran Granger. Mm-hmm. I'm holding on to all these players because of the fact that a lot of them are versatile, and I need my depth because when will that be tested?
Yeah. And that's the thing.
Terrified of the thought of having an injured offensive line.
Well, that's the thing. It comes off as a surplus because the last 2 years you haven't gotten to see it.
Even then, they don't miss a beat against Kansas City because Spencer Brown is out for a game.
Yep.
That's a big deal. I want to keep that. I need to keep that. So that's primarily my main objective is, look, what are the Bills missing? They're missing a superstar player, typically, is what it is. Instead, a good team, a great team, is also valued off of its depth. You see Curtis Samuel as a potential trade piece. I see Curtis Samuel as, if he's healthy, his value on the roster is going to be a lot better and meaningful.
Mm-hmm.
His value is not going to be there in the trade market. You have 10 draft picks. Use those first.
Yeah, use those first. Now, if it does get to a point where, you know, he brought up Curtis Samuel potentially in a trade if you want to go up and get Burton. Yeah. If a team is like,
Even James Cook. That value is not going to be there. Teams are not going to overpay for a running back in the trade market, especially when the player will be a free agent after next year.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you bother? So, like, while it's interesting that Joe Marino pointed that out there in that clip, unless you're trading a star, you're not getting the value you want when it comes to a player trade at the draft. It's not happening.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not how it works historically.
Yeah,
the reason the Bills traded a first for Stephon Diggs, the reason the Bills traded a first round pick for Stephon Diggs was because of the fact that he was a star ready to bloom.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bills recognized that. Oftentimes, a player will not be traded for a first round pick outside of extenuating circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
Tennessee gets a first rounder to trade A.J. Brown. But also, you have to be without your mind to trade A.J. Brown. And John Robinson, within that season, pays the price with his job.
Well, yeah, so that's the thing, too. It's like they got a first-round pick, but A.J. Brown was a superstar that they weren't – I mean, they were using him correctly.
Yes.
They were. It was just they had this weird notion that A.J. Brown wasn't actually as good as he was, and now we all see with the Eagles – he's been a monster with the Eagles. He's trending towards a Hall of Fame career.
Exactly.
And like you mentioned, it cost the GM his job in season. He doesn't even get to go to another draft.
Yeah, because the man went back into his building and embarrassed him.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very much oftentimes, when you trade a player, you're not going to get the return you expect to get. It's not a video game.
No, and we even talked about that with some of the draft picks as well. Like, I mean, if you try to trade back, you're likely getting maybe a fourth if you go from round one to two. Then you maybe can package those fourths, try to get into the third, what have you. But it takes a lot of – you mentioned a lot of board manipulation. It takes a few more trades. Bean had to do this to go get Allen. They had to trade.
They traded twice.
Yeah.
Cordy Glenn goes for a first-round pick.
Offensive lineman. They do have that value.
Except Cordy Glenn goes for a first-round pick that you then have to use again to move up.
Mm-hmm.
It was not a clean swap.
No.
You had to move up again
mm-hmm.
to get to where you really wanted to be. For me, it is going to still be. The players are not going to get you what you think they're going to get you.
Mm-hmm.
I call it Darcy Regeer syndrome.
Oh, love that. Love that.
Because somehow Darcy was able to get maximum value on players that he would trade out.
Mm-hmm.
But it's never often the case. Like, it's funny how I'm likening it to hockey in this sense, but like people saying, Samuelson's garbage, trade him somewhere. Who's taking him?
Yeah, you have to find a team that believes
you can't say
with Ottawa. You have to find a team that believes we're going to get the most out of them. That there's something under there.
But more commonly, the bad players are bad, mm-hmm. and other teams know that.
Yep.
Like that's typically how this works.
Yeah, you might be first to the bull. They're not far behind you.
Yeah, and like you think that you can trade something for an offensive lineman that has barely any tape over the past few years. Wyatt Teller goes and gets Buffalo back, like I think it was a fifth or a sixth round pick.
It wasn't much.
It was where he was drafted. But the return, considering what Teller became, was embarrassingly low and one of Brandon Bean's public regrets.
Mm-hmm. And to the offensive line, you bring up Wyatt Teller. Cody Ford's development is also one of the big regrets of Bean's tenure here. And that's where I think the big...
I'm just more on value.
Well, but I think that's also where, you know, back to the original point, trading the surplus of offensive linemen, they will not do that.
No.
They are going to hoard these guys. Travis Clayton is another one from the international window.
Boys.
Where they're Aaron Cromer, work your magic, and we'll have a surplus so that when injuries, sadly, do eventually come, or guys get older and their body just starts to wear down, they've got these guys in the pipeline that they can bring up, haven't had to pay big money because they haven't had to start too much.
And great and teams good. Have depth.
Mm-hmm.
Look at Philadelphia.
Especially in the trenches.
In the trenches, they are one of the best teams,
mm-hmm.
and it's no mistake.
Let's go back to the phones. John is up next. John, how are we doing this morning?
Good. How are you guys doing? Thank
doing
you
well.
For taking my call. I'm glad you mentioned hockey because this is sounding like a hockey discussion because I've been a Buffalo sports fan all my life, and I'm a little tired about hearing about when guys perform outstanding, we tend to find ways not to keep them, okay? Sabres are a perfect example. Mm-hmm. 40, 50 goal scorers, his contract is up, boom, we kick him out the door. Instead of trying to find ways to keep these people here, without James Cook, the Bills were nowhere last year. And I understand you can't pay a running back $15 or $16 million, but we haven't even heard a counteroffer what he's thinking. And I think he knows he's not going to get $15 million. But now everybody seems to be having our roster for next year or 2 years without this guy. He's an incredible part of this offense. And if you pin Josh Allen down, he's going to say, we have to keep this guy. You're not going to get a James Cook in the draft. I don't care what anybody says. This guy just brings so much to our table, and I want to hear somebody with a creative way to keep this guy here, okay? And that's all I have to say. Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
No problem, John. You too. And I honestly, I'm starting to get to a point with this, and I know, John, like, it's going to go against what you said. Prepare, first of all, like, Cook's going to play next year. Mm-hmm. He's a Bill next year, and I don't think he holds out. He's not that kind of player. He said he doesn't want that kind of attention, and I think that's what he means. We also are not in the negotiation table. None of us are. We don't know if a counteroffer has been made. We don't know how much it is. What I do know is two things. One, James Cook will be a Buffalo Bill next year. And two, if that is the ask, the Bills will not be able to afford him. It has nothing to do with keeping good players here. It is just sometimes you can't keep everybody. That is the cold, hard reality of a salary cap team in sports. You can't keep everybody. And that leads me to this. Enjoy James Cook while he is here. So fans like ready to jettison him, calm down. Just because he wants money and he wants to try to test the market with terms of his value does not mean that he's not a Buffalo Bill in the future. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, if that number is not going to move, enjoy James Cook while he is here. It is a business decision, and people sometimes do not understand the lack of comfort, I should say, of how uncomfortable it is about it being a business decision. So it turns into, I'm going to have negative feelings about this player instead because he's not going to be a Bill long term.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be both. You can understand that the Bills may not be able to afford him, but also be very ready and enjoy having James Cook here next year.
I also do like, I mean, you brought it up and John brought it up as well. We also haven't heard anything monetarily wise.
We're
after the
immediate
there. $15 million. And Cook didn't even, I think he liked a tweet or retweeted something on Instagram, whatever. We haven't heard anything past that. So if ultimately he is signed for like $9, $10 million, especially with the cap going up.
Yes.
You can make that work. You can do that. And also it'll probably only be, I would imagine, a three-year deal. You kind of go to the end of his prime. He'll be about 28 years old. That's a good place to stop. That keeps him on the team. Now, but that's the thing. I am moving off Cook. If he really wants to stay at the $15 to $16 million range, he wants to be paid like Saquon Barkley or what Derrick Henry should be being paid, what have you. If that happens, you are moving off him. And I think the Bills do set themselves up well in potentially moving on with the addition of Ray Davis.
And I think that is ultimately, ready? I hate that we have had to keep talking about this. This is next year's problem.
Yeah, it's not this year's problem.
It is next year's problem. Let future us worry about that.
Yep. Love the calls. Keep them coming. 803-0550, the number to call if you want to join the show. We got one more segment here before we get you over to Sabres Live. Zach Jones and Derek Kramer. You're listening to Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Quick final segment here as we wrap up our time here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Do want to let you know, though, before we get out of here, listen to Show Up in the Bulldog all week for your chance to win two lawn tickets to see Breaking Benjamin in 3 days grace at Darien Lake Amphitheater on September 17th, courtesy of Live Nation. Tickets are on sale at livenation.com. Real quick here before we get out, let's take one more call. Joe is on the line. Joe, you're on WGR.
How you doing, WGR?
Okay. Doing well.
Okay, cool. I'm not sure if it was, this is regarding the draft. I'm not sure. I think it was about 10 years ago. We took a guy in the second round named Terrell Troop, who was basically a bust. The problem with that was that on the very next pick, there was a kid from Williamsville who would have played his heart out for the Bills that the Patriots took named Rob Gronkowski.
Yep, the immediate next pick.
Yeah, that was the that's one of those all-time draft regrets. I mean, people probably had some reactions to that, to say the least.
Gronk was awesome at Arizona, by the way. Mm-hmm. His issue was also the quote-unquote character issues. It's more maturity issues. And to be fair, like, we all know who Gronk is. So can you imagine 21-year-old Gronk? What's funny about that pick also, it's not just that he's a Williamsville kid. The Bills notoriously have really no history at the tight end position. Mm-hmm. And Gronk is inarguably one of the top five of all time and would have helped them. This is the 2010 draft, by the way, so it's about 25 or it's about 15 years ago.
Yeah, but it's just one of those weird things of like, misses happen all the time, honestly.
Oh yeah.
I'm not really gonna hang my hat on like a particular one of them unless there's a core memory to it. That's why I bring up the Maben pick,
mm-hmm.
yep. is because it's not necessarily about like I was right about it. It is my reaction to it. One of my core memories is here. I'm doing Sports Thunder after the draft, and I'm pissed that Josh Allen was the pick. So pissed that my program director, our program director, Alan Davis, comes over and says, hey, you are still a member of the flagship, so...
Let's build some excitement to it.
Yeah, he's like, you do, like, you can disagree with the pick, but, like, figure it out from there. Like, no, learn how to tread water, because, like, I'm still new to hosting at this point. And so he's like, learn how to tap dance.
Yep, you got to toe the line a little bit here.
A little bit. Mm-hmm. At least a little bit. You can disagree with it. You could say it's not the pick you wanted. But he's a Bill now.
Yep. Real quick to tie a bow on today as well. We talked a lot about drafting the best play available luxury picks. Evan Silva established the run, put on a mock draft today. Who does he take for the Bills at 30? Oh, well, don't you know? Luther Burden, wide receiver out of Missouri. Very, very excited. Cannot wait. We are just over a week away from the NFL draft. But coming up next, after a quick timeout, Sabres Live. This is WGR.